Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
657 Medium Wave Radio Pulpit coming to you. We trust the Father is doing you well, man. Gracing you so much in a mighty way, the best of friends we are. This is happening throughout up to hour 8. Thank you, thank you, thank you to Johan Els. Man, you should have seen how he was dressed today. You know those long jackets, they used to call them backgrounds. You know, that background. And the Scottish hat. Huh? A Scottish cap. He looked grand. Like he's marching on the grandeur. Wonderful. And it's good to have seen Louise also. Beautiful as ever. And Louise, I've passed the regards to Audrey already. I spoke to her just a few minutes ago. She's so elated. Anyway, Wednesday Live, the name of the show, and I'd like to start it this way. We will be talking to Professor Samuel Kabamba and also Muruti Karamuraka. We are touching base. It's talk radio, you know, right through up to 8. Haven't played an album in a while or a record. You know how it goes. A record.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit GLN for Christian radio that speaks to the heart. Listen online to Radio Pulpit's new gospel station in English and vernacular languages like Zulu, Setswana, and more. Visit radiopulpit.co.za or download the Radio Pulpit app and click on Radio Pulpit GLN to live stream wherever you are.
Lulu Tigana, the late Lulu Tigana there. I mean, Lulu passed away many years ago, man. More than 10 years ago, but she's still rocking, man. She's still doing it. And she was way advanced of her times, way much advanced of her times. And even those who are doing it now, they know that Lulu is the one who did it without any recognition. And she is well respected even for that. All right, and Wednesday Live it is. We have our guests on the line. Pastor Samuel Kabamba is on the line and Muruti Karabomuraka is on the line. Let me start with you, Muruti Muraka. Greetings to you, Muruti. Welcome to the show. I trust you're well and family.
Yes, sir. Greetings to you and to Pastor Kabamba as well as the listeners and participants on Radio Pulpit. Yeah. Thank you for the welcome. We really appreciate it, Matare. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach.
Thank you so much, Muruti, for gracing us with your presence. And we also have Pastor Samuel Kabamba. He's on the line. Professor, greetings to you and welcome to the show. I trust you and the family are doing well.
Yeah, thank you very much and greetings to you. And well, thank you for welcoming us today. We are so blessed to be alive. The family is good and everyone is okay. A bit of flu, but we're standing. Yeah, and that's what we can say. And greetings to Muruti Muraka as well. And to everyone who will be with us today, we believe that we shall have a wonderful time.
Absolutely. I believe it so also, Muruti. And tonight, this evening, we are talking about falsifying the gospel. Falsifying the gospel. A trend of today. That aspect of falsifying the gospel, which has become a trend of today. We see it much of the times. You know, others can say it's false witnessing. But the notion of falsifying the gospel has become a very popular trend that even pays those who do so a lot of money. A lot of promotion is given to such, and massive prominence also is given to such. And massive resources are also given to such men. Even when they try. I once had a friend in Rustenburg who started well so humbly, and boom, the tent was like a 2,000 seater and all that, and started to do that and started to change friends, man, and all those things and stuff. You know, you could just see that someone has gotten paid. And then that line of the gospel that they held on became something of the past. They held on to a new one. And when they started to repent, you see them passing away. It happens, man. And we have to talk about this. We can't be keeping quiet all and all and all. And the word is warning us with regards to this. We are told vehemently by the word with regards to this to be really, really careful about this. Now, if you look into the word in Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, it says, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." But these days, the gospel has been falsified to such an extent that it is okay to speak ill of one another, to even give false witness of one another on pulpits, nochal, and to speak all kinds of derogatives about one another. I mean, on social media, that is one platform that the devil is happy about, where they bash one another. There's no brotherly love, man. I've seen others swearing at each other, telling each other, "You won't be alive in the next 2 years." And these are pastors. They are falsifying the gospel, man. It's no longer the good news now. It's something else. When you look into Exodus chapter 23, verses 1, it says, "You shall not circulate a false report." Falsifying the gospel also is done through circulating false reports. It says, "Do not put your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness." Falsifying the gospel also is the spirit of compromise that we see today, which justifies wickedness. And which accepts readily any form of unrighteous witnessing. We see that these days. It's happening. And those who are proponents of the gospel have kept quiet. Others are afraid because if they can talk, some receipts will come out and say, "We used to pay you. Come on. You are now growing your conscience. You're starting to talk. You took a lot of money from us." Deuteronomy 19, verse 16, it says, "If a false witness rises against any man to testify against him of wrongdoing." Now we see today false witnessing where people rise against one another and accusing one another, testifying against one another for wrongdoing. And I'm not saying that shouldn't be done, but it is put in such a way that you bash that person, you destroy that person. And I've seen pastors doing what is called, Christians call this sheep stealing. And they speak bad about one another because of what of the things maybe the other has done wrong. They speak bad about it. It becomes a gospel of their ministry. And when that thing evaporates into thin air, people start to say, "Huh? Oh, this guy has nothing to say anymore." Proverbs 16, verse 6, verse 19 says, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. False witnessing, which is the falsifying of the gospel, it is the devil's means of sowing discord amongst us as the body of the Hamashiach. Something we need to be careful about, you and I. the false gospel, with its false witnessing, false miracles, false signs and wonders, all these deceptions, they are meant to sow discord, to divide the house, to render us weak, powerless, that perhaps we become enemies of one another and start to devour one another. And perhaps until none of us is standing, because we are devouring one another. Proverbs 18 verses 2 speaks about a fool who has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart, falsifying the gospel, is also challenged by the opinions of those who are preaching. It's a challenge to the true gospel because of the opinions of those who are preaching. People have placed their opinions way far ahead of Scripture. And it is about what they say, what they believe. You shape into it or you ship out. They really don't care. That's how it is. They're able to say to one person who is disgruntled, who is leaving, they say, "You may go. Go through that door, it's fine. 99 other doors will open and other people will come." That's how it works. That's what they say. But the gospel doesn't say that. Christ goes out and looks for the one sheep that is lost, leaving the 99. Falsifying the gospel is also manifested into bringing our own philosophies into the interpretation of Scripture, in our own cultures, in our own discriminations. That's where you see us venting our feelings. When we vent our feelings, we are falsifying the gospel. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 3, "For a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words." And today, there are so many words. So many words. And this implies, and the notion of so many words speaks about sophists, philosophers. It speaks about those on the doctorals and postdoctorals who basically have opinions, who have done research and are speaking as authority. But their words are just so many in that they don't align with the true word of the Father. The culturalists, the traditionalists, the nationalists, the Democrats, the conservatives, the Republicans, everybody speaking a particular sort of scriptural alignment, but bringing many words, many philosophies, and causing a massive sophistication that leads to confusions, splits, fights, deceptions, defeats, backslidings, curses, disobedience. Brings all those kinds of things. We see those things happening these days, much of the time. Chapter 10, verse 3 of Ecclesiastes says, "Even when a fool walks along the way, he lacks wisdom, and he shows everyone that he is a fool." We find ourselves walking in the way of wisdom, but with our foolishness, we falsify the way of wisdom. And people are looking up at us. And like I said, someone asked me a very powerful question. Where is the church? And I said, but you have so many people surrounding you who are actually representatives. I see them praying in parliament. I see them here in Pretoria, the union buildings. I see them everywhere. I've seen them in Bloemfontein. I've seen them at Thekwini. I've seen these people. These are men of the cloth. I'd seen them in the University of Pretoria. I also saw them at UNISA very recently. Oh, yes, in UKZN, I also saw them. Men of the cloth. And then this professor says to me, but these ones do not represent the church. For the things that they say are things that were cooked by us. It hurts sometimes.
We are here 24 hours a day with the message of hope, faith, and love on 657 AM.
Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
The words of the Lord are words of life. Your heart is on 657 AM. Feel the pulse of the real life on 657 AM. 657 AM. The sounds of your life.
657 AM, Radio Pulpit coming to you. We trust the Father is doing you good, man. Gracing you so much in a mighty way. My name is Ray. I'm hanging out with Professor Samuel Kabamba and also Muruti Karabo Muraka. Muruti Muraka, let me start with you, man. Let me start with you, sir. What kind of manner of ways or what should it imply to falsify the gospel these days? And the manner in which it seems to be happening? And what is being done, really, about it? Murut.
Yes, sir. yeah, thank you for the opportunity to participate on the platform. That even as we share what the Lord puts on our hearts from His Word according to His Spirit, we learn from one another, even as the Holy Spirit makes revelation of what is pleasing to the Father,
yes,
and what is not pleasing. And of course, relying on what the Lord Jesus Christ has commanded us is that we should carry out the will of the Father. So that is the most important thing. Therefore, when we talk about falsifying the gospel, what is the Father telling us the gospel is? So that when we know the truth of the gospel, then we would relying on the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, we would then perceive what is the falsification of the gospel. So when we look at the gospel in essence, I think the first thing maybe for us is to look at Luke chapter 4, verse 18, maybe start at 17, where then we will actually learn what the Lord Jesus Christ was given. All right, from verse 16, rather. So he came to Nazareth, speaking about the Lord Jesus, where he had been nurtured. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And as he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of Yahweh is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel," or to proclaim the gospel to the poor. "He has sent me to heal the shattered, to preach forgiveness to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to send in forgiveness those who are wounded, to preach the acceptable year of Yudevape. And then in verse 21, it says this. He began to assert to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. He was reading from the scroll, which is containing the scriptures, and it was in the book of Isaiah. So basically, it was something which had been foretold, prophesied by the prophet as coming from Yudevave Elohim. Now, what was it saying? It was someone saying, the spirit of Yudevave is upon me because he has anointed me. And the anointing basically is to do certain things. It's to evangelize the poor. It's to heal the shattered, to preach forgiveness to the captive, and recovery of sight to the blind, and also to send in forgiveness those who are wounded, to proclaim the acceptable year of Yudevave. Now, the gospel, even as we are reading from there, is meant for those who are poor, and the poverty which is being mentioned here is not only the outward poverty, but it is especially poverty from within. Out of this scripture, we may not necessarily have this explained clearly, but when we read other scriptures, we learn from them even what the Lord is expounding pertaining to this. That those who are sinners are actually captives, and what they need is forgiveness for them to be set free from their captivity. And that those who may even be thinking that they see because physically they can see, yet even when they read the word of God, they fail to see what the word is saying to us. Then it is telling us such people need a recovery of sight. And who would do this? The Messiah. Because he is the one anointed. He is the one who has been sealed. In Luke, Yeshua himself says, are you saying the one who has been chosen and sealed by the Father is blaspheming just because I said I am the Son of God? Now, the gospel, if we may just retrace a little bit to Mark chapter 1, we will hear this said about the gospel, that the beginning of the gospel of Jesus, the anointed one, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of the one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of Yudevave, make his path straight. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance into the remission or the forgiveness of sin. Now, this is what we hear the gospel to be, that before even the Messiah came, there's someone who came who was preaching that about this very gospel, that in order to participate and enter into the kingdom of God, you have to change your thinking and have your sins forgiven. Now, verse 14, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the season is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe in the gospel. And if we go to Matthew chapter 9, I would like us to read verse 34, 35. Verse 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Verse 36. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Now, all these things that are being explained there, stipulated, you could put them all under the heading, the gospel of the kingdom. Because with the good news that God is bringing to humanity, to the world, it is that you are lost, you are captives of sin, you have all these manifestations because of the condition of first your heart and then yourselves in totality. And the way to help you out of this is, number one, change your thinking inside and acknowledge what is holding you captive, your sin. And as you acknowledge by confessing this and relying on the one whom I have sent, the Son of Mankind, who actually is also the Son of God, because when he was walking here on earth, explaining himself as the Son of Mankind, he asked, who do people say I am? And his disciples told him. And he asked them, who do you say I am? And Peter among them said, you are the anointed one, the Son of the living God. And he said, this has not been revealed to you by flesh and blood. In other words, your brain and your ability to think. But it is my Father who has actually revealed this to you, Peter. So the gospel is this good news that is being brought to us, glad tidings that we are being brought to us as humanity, that being lost, it's not a lost situation in itself, but there is a deliverance. There is salvation, and that salvation is in the one who has been chosen, the one who has been given the task of setting us free. And that one is only one. It is that Jesus, who was born in Bethlehem, who grew up in Nazareth, and who came out to be baptized under John, and after he was baptized, all that John had been saying in foretelling what is coming, that I am baptizing you in water, but someone is coming who's going to baptize you in the Spirit. Then he was revealed at that time when he was baptized. But immediately for 40 days, he was taken by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested and tried. And he came back and started to proclaim this message that he has been sent of the Father to come and set us free. And it was also manifested in how he helped people with things like sicknesses, diseases. Those who were mute were given ability to speak. Those who were deaf, they were given ability to hear, and so forth. And there were so many things which had, those who were dead, he raised out of the defunct. And all those things were actually pointing to the reality that he is the solution. He is the help which had been promised from long ago, that there is someone that the Father has earmarked, and that person is going to help us. That is the gospel.
I hear you. I hear you. We're still asking the question, what does it mean to falsify the gospel? And today, some of the most popular trends in falsifying the gospel, and what the word says with regards to this. Are we seeing ourselves at times, you know, really in the falsification of the gospel? Yeah, man. What are some of the things that we have added? NgesiZulu bathi yini izinto esijobelelile or saqala ngokuphongoza bese sajobelela izinto eziphuma kithi thina ezingaphumi kumoya engcwele. Things that are not from the Spirit of the Father that we have added, which have falsified the gospel, including names. I'm looking into that.
Share the love. Share the truth. Share the life on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Prayer, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222. Or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Need a break from the hustle and bustle of life? Then tune in to Radio Pulpit GNN, a brand new online station bringing you Christian content in English and vernacular languages like Zulu, Setswana, and more. Visit radiopulpit.co.za or download the Radio Pulpit app and click on Radio Pulpit GNN to live stream wherever you are.
No hassles, no frills. It's just sounds full of life on 657 AM.
There you go, 657 AM. And of course, those are on Jigelele, man. Welcome. Enjoying, I suppose. Now, when you look into the word, Professor, let me bring this to you, sir. The aspect of false witnessing, and I've read quite a number of verses with regards to this, you know. How these are also a manifestation of folly, you know, false narrative. And I read also Proverbs 16:19 about false witnessing, you know, as a means of the devil's ways of sowing discord even amongst us. This includes or is a part of the big category of the false gospel. And in Proverbs 12:17 says, he who speaks truth declares righteousness, but the false witness declares deceit. And we see the falsification of the gospel is also a means of declaring deceptions amongst the people. And people are taking that bait, Muruti. People are taking that bait. They are feeding from these falsehoods. What's your take, sir?
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much for the question. And it's quite interesting to see what is happening nowadays. And as you're speaking about falsification of the gospel, Muruti Muraka mentioned quite a few things, and you also, Muruti Ray. And we would like just to also add a few things on whatever has been said. You know, the gospel, as you know, is the good news. And it's not given by us, but given by the Father himself. And the way it is presented, it has a purpose of salvation. It has the purpose of saving, not the purpose of condemning. Because the moment the gospel ceases to play that role, then we start questioning whatsoever we say. You know, nowadays I've been saying, not that I'm special, not that I know, I've been saying that if you don't have anything to say, you rather keep quiet than saying it. Because what we're having today, if you go to social media, you will see everyone, because they have a mouth, they think that they have the right to speak. And not only to speak, but to speak what exactly they have to speak. You know, you go into anything. You know, I would prefer to read the Bible and just explain it as it is. At least it makes sense, because it is written the way it is. But the moment I start now trying to see or to spiritualize things, or trying to make things look as if they become so special, or things start becoming so unattainable, you know, then that's where we found people falsifying the gospel. Because people have a tendency of showing something that is so clear to us, but they want to make it extraordinary. And by doing so, the motive has always been not the Father, but the motive has always been themselves. Because they want to attract people to themselves, not to the Father, by stating that this is what the Bible says, what is not what the Bible says. Now, when you read the Bible, when you go to falsehood, for instance, you know, the Bible is so clear. We've read this scripture many times. Jesus speaking to the disciples says, don't go anywhere, don't go far, but stay in Jerusalem. There will be a time, wait for the promise. And the promise has to come. And the promise came. And Jesus said it clearly, said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit shall come upon you.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit has already come. He is with us. And when do we receive the Holy Spirit? When we believe in the word of the Father. The moment you believe, there's a seal of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. And from that time on, we are being set apart for God, and we work for him with the Holy Spirit in us. But now, guess what? When we are told today to go and seek for power, it's already falsifying the gospel. Because there it means that we never received it. Because when you receive the Father, or you receive the word, that is the good news, when you receive it, automatically, according to the Bible, you are receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit does not wait for a certain period of time for him to come. That as if you need to receive the word now, you need to pray a lot for you to get the power or to receive the Holy Spirit. These are teachings that have been given. You see, people running toward some man who claim to have everything from the Father. They can even distribute that to other people. But they don't give those things for free. They give them with a certain kind of payment. If it's not a payment in terms of money, but it has to be a payment in terms of sacrifice. And what kind of sacrifice? They won't ask you to pay money, but they will ask you to spend more time in prayer, more time in those programs, But when you come to those programs, whether you like it or not, you will give money. Money will go. That they might not tell you, give us money, but they'll create programs around something that you have already received, but they make it as if you've never received it. And this is falsifying the gospel. And they make you work very hard for something that you've already received. You know, I've seen people telling us that you need to pray a lot for God, the Father, to answer you or to give you whatsoever you need. While the Bible is so clear, you speak with him in the secret, he will hear you and he will reward you while you have that communion with him, that nobody knows what you are doing. Nobody is part of it, but you and the Father, you are in that communion, and it makes sense. Now, someone will tell you, no, you need to spend 7 days in the mountain. You need to go for 20 days in a retreat. You need to, while all these things, to pray is not bad. It is good. But the Bible says, pray without ceasing. The Bible does not say you need to pray for 7 days only or for 10 days. But the Bible tells you to pray all the time. It's like somebody telling you, why are you, or telling you to not breathe? Because prayer is like breathing. You need to be praying all the time so that you may be in contact with your Father.
Yes.
And the more you stay with him, the more he relates to you, the more he answers you, the more he gives you whatsoever that he feels fit. Because he's your Father. We are serving a responsible Father who does not expect us to do something for him to bless us. But a responsible Father knows the need of his children. The Bible is so clear. He knows your need. He is there to answer to your need. Before even you speak, he knows, and he knows what you want to ask him. Now, when we start changing by telling people that you need to pray a lot for God to hear you, that's falsifying the gospel. It's like as if we need to motivate God for him to answer. God, the Father, does not need any motivation. It's like example. I give this example. All of us here, Muruti Re, Muruti Muraka, and some of us who are following us, we are parents. Some of us are parents. Do we give to our children based on their merit, or we give them because we love them? Mm. It's because we love them.
Yes.
Children, even when they don't bring good marks, we don't deprive them for eating. We don't deprive them for buying clothes for them. We don't deprive them from, paying their school fees. Mm. We continue doing that no matter the marks they bring to us. But guess what is happening today in our churches? It's like somehow we need to merit whatsoever that comes from God. We need to work hard for it. That is falsifying the gospel. Jesus is saying in the book of Matthew, Matthew 10, what does the Bible say? Matthew 10, there are a lot of things that we can also look in there. In Matthew 10, the Bible is speaking to us about whatsoever you have received, freely you have received it, freely you have to give it. Today, what do we see? Whatsoever we have received freely, we need to give it with a certain sacrifice on the other side. Mm. That means nobody can receive. The Bible goes even in terms of gift, in terms of knowledge. We could go further by even saying we could not even have what you call Christian university whereby people need to pay. I'm just saying we could even go to that extent of saying nobody pays for the gospel. Because today, we pay for the gospel. Why do we pay while we have received it without even we did not do anything for us to receive it. These are issues. When you sit, they sound not, it's like there's no problem on that. When you preach and people do, it does not make, people tell you, the gospel is free, but to go and preach, it requires money. No, in other words, you are already changing the whole thing. It means that you need money for the gospel to go. But you know what? The one who has called us, he will provide because he knows he has called you and he will send you. And as of when I started, I said this. People, if you don't have anything to say, would rather do what? Keep quiet. Mm. Not to say it. You know, I saw a video of a young man. This young man, he was prophesying, speaking to people about a lot of things. He gave them the phone numbers and so on and so forth. Mm. And the second video, he came and said, "You people, you see me, I'm prophesying, and then the next minute you say that I've gone to see Inyangas and all this, maybe whatever. Because here you see me, I'm praying on the mountain." And the third vision, he comes and say, "People of God, I've come to apologize. Whatsoever I've been doing, were not from the Father. I went and contacted other powers so that I was able to tell you all this story." Now, you see how people come to falsify the gospel. It's like because you've seen some people doing some shooting, and you think that whatever they're doing, because they are called with a certain name, automatically you think that they're in the right. That does not work that way. Another man says something. He said that he was in the church, and somebody was, there was a preaching and whatever. And then he happened to say something, and whatever he was saying, somebody came to him and said, "Man of God, whatsoever you say really touched my heart. It means God has used you to speak to me." And then I tried to differ with that man. I said, you know, saying a good thing does not mean necessarily that it's coming from the Father. Mm. And he says something that I was so shocked to hear from a man of God. He says, "Because I'm a man of God, whatsoever I say, I'm engaging God into it." I said, "No, that's a lie. That's not true. Because the truth is, a good thing is different from the right thing. You might say a good thing. Everyone here, if you tell me that, hey, Muruti, you have a problem with finance." Who doesn't have a problem with finance? It's something good. It sounds good. And I can say you are really touching to my issues. But does that mean that it's coming from the Father? No. You know, one can take that. That's what we're taking away. We are using it in our churches today to manipulate people, to intimidate people, and to try to dominate them by telling them the obvious, whatsoever they are facing. And we are now labeling it by saying it is from the Father. What is not the gospel? It's something else. You know, I will end by saying this. When Muruti Muraka says something that I want us to mention. You know, when Jesus Christ came to save us, he knew that we were weak. He knew that we were not holy. He knew that we were not perfect. He knew that we were limited. And he saved us through our weakness, so that he may make us strong through him. Now, how can you save somebody who is weak, who is not holy, who is not perfect? But every day when you come to him, you must remind him about his weaknesses, about his limitations. Are you helping that person? You are falsifying the gospel. Because the gospel is the good news in terms of telling the person, yes, you used to be weak, but in me, you have the strength. Now, guess what we are preaching today? We speak more about all the weaknesses, the bad things, the wrong things, the whatever that can be exist. We speak about the devil all the time, but we forget what Jesus Christ said. He said, "You shall receive the Holy Spirit, and he shall teach you, he shall speak of me." Not of anything, he shall speak of me. But we don't speak about him too much, but we speak about our weakness, our limitations, our lack, our this, our that, and then we continue saying that, and it becomes confusing. Now, as I was saying, I'm ending. Let me just add something on this, Muruti Re and Muruti Muraka. Listen to this. I listened to a song, and I've been still debating with my wife these days, and I was just laughing. There's a song that somebody saying that God is the trouble, listen to this, is the trouble that trouble, the trouble that troubles me. Then I said, okay, if God becomes the trouble, where is it written in the Bible that God has become the trouble? Why the Bible says God is the peace. He's not the troublemaker, he's a peacemaker. Now, when you call him the trouble,
and people are singing that song, dancing, people are enjoying, and the person is getting more views on TikTok and whatever. Then I say, God, look at how people are falsifying the gospel. And they are putting it on you. And these are things, if I may say, that I can stop on this one for now.
Thank you so much, Professor. I really appreciate it. Let's open up the lines that people can speak just as much. What does it mean to falsify the gospel? And today, what are some of the things that are pointers to this? You know, that show that there is much of the falsification of the gospel. Some of the things that we seem to be so much attached to, which are a point of reference with regards to falsifications of the gospel. We're talking about that. You can give a shout, talk to us directly there. 012-334-1322. 012-334-1322. Let's hear what you say on this matter. And of course, you can also speak of, you know, experienced events that would have shown you that people had gone on to falsify the gospel, and many people seem to be happy even about that. Send us a WhatsApp, 082-657-2729. And also, you can give us a shout, talk to us directly there, 012-334-1322.
Enjoy a cup of coffee and catch up on your favorite program. Download our podcasts on radiopulpit.co.za.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.